Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. So if you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for welcoming us into your home, and a special shout out to Aldergrove CLCC. You know, a number of years ago, my wife used to go to aerobic classes, and I decided to join her and practice some of those aerobic moves to the music. And let me tell you, I was horrible. I am so uncoordinated that the instructor couldn't even look at me, or it would throw her off. In fact, I did some of those moves the wrong way, and I hurt my back really badly. I learned pretty quickly that I just wasn't cut out for that kind of exercising. And we're in this series called Practice Makes Perfect. But it's important to remember that practice only makes perfect if you practice the right way. If you practice the wrong way, you just create bad habits. And so in this series, we're talking about communion, we're talking about Sabbath, we're talking about baptism, water baptism, all of these church practices that help to make us, help us to grow and mature. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And sometimes when we read that, we think, whoa, that's a pretty high bar to reach, to be perfect as God is. You have to also, though, understand that the word perfect, both in the original Greek of the first century and in our English today, has a secondary meaning, in that perfect does not always have to mean without flaw. It could mean useful, utilitarian. And we use it in English when we say things like, "That was the perfect tool for the job." It doesn't mean that that tool was flawless, but that tool was just the right fit. It met the what it should do in order to accomplish the task at hand. And so when Jesus is calling us to be perfect, he's calling us to be useful, to be who we were created to be the kind of person God wants us to be. And we might also say that that's just really saying that we need to mature, we need to grow into who God wants us to be. So today I want to talk about Sabbath. And Sabbath comes from the Hebrew verb sabbat, which means to rest or cease from work. Now, to rest, it doesn't mean to take a nap. Rather, it means to pause, to cease from what you're doing because it is completed, to take a break. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God rested on the seventh day. And it wasn't because he was tired. It was because everything that he had done was very good. Remember that repeated phrase throughout the creation narrative where everything was very good. And so he paused. He will continue his created work later, but he pauses, he ceases from his creative work and rests. Now, God can rest because his work is perfect. We can rest because we know that a perfect God is in reigning over our lives and controlling our circumstances. Now, the Old Testament gives us two reasons why we should celebrate Sabbath, why we should rest. The first is in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth commandments. And it says that we are to rest, we are to pause, because God paused after creation. And the second reason for Sabbath is given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. It says that we are to rest because we are to celebrate the fact that the Israeli people were delivered from Egypt and they had rest from slavery. This idea of rest being is intended for us, it says, and our servants. Keep this in mind. It wasn't just the Israeli people who are supposed to rest. Their slaves were supposed to be given rest or Sabbath as well, one day of the week, and to set apart a time to pause, to stop from the regular routine and be refreshed. Our text is found in Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 27. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.'" Well, let's pray. Oh, we want to thank you, first of all, Father, that you have created rest for us, that you have encouraged us to pause, encouraged us to take time to be refreshed, to worship, to reflect. And Lord, I pray that we would be disciplined in that, because we know this is important for our souls. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this encouragement to Sabbath, not as a rule, but as a blessing, as all of your commandments are intended to be blessings and not simply rules. So we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I've learned we don't downshift easily. God rests, satisfied that his creative work is done, but it is surprisingly hard for us to rest. Have you noticed that when you went on going on a vacation, you've been working hard, you've been looking forward to getting away and going on vacation, and you go on that vacation and boy, it's hard to slow down. It is hard to rest. It is hard just to relax. Your brain is going, you feel antsy, you want to get up and do stuff, and you want to be on the run all the time. And you know what? It takes practice to rest. It doesn't come easily, and I don't think it comes that naturally. It takes practice. And you know, all of the soul exercises are like that. They take practice. Prayer, worship, tithing, solitude, they don't come easily. And sometimes we say, oh, I guess that's just not me. That doesn't come easy. I tried to pray, but I make it for about 3 seconds, and all of a sudden my brain starts to whirl and I need to do something else. No, all of the soul exercises take practice. They take time. They need to be done frequently so that we learn to do them. And the more we do them, the easier they become. We rarely ever think that our work is done. And most of us, when we finish on Friday or whenever the last day of the week is, we say, oh man, I've got so much work to do. I don't know if I can take a day off. But Sabbath grows our souls. Sabbath rest helps our souls to be exercised so that they grow. And I think all of us understand as followers of Jesus that not only we want our physical exercise to help our bodies and that we only eat right, we also want to grow our souls. We want to grow our spiritual nature. We want to grow our inner man and our inner woman. And soul exercises do that. Every one of them is an antidote for some spiritual disease could be happening in our life. In fact, rest or Sabbath is an antidote for workaholism. Tithing is an antidote for materialism. Solitude is an antidote for this need to be always the center of attention. And so we see that this exercise, this rest exercise, this practice of rest is really important to grow our souls. I think sometimes we're a bit like the Grinch who stole Christmas, and our souls are about two sizes too small, and we need to grow them. Work can get out of whack in every one of our lives. Working from home can be a blessing, and a lot of that is happening today, or it can be very challenging, because what happens is that there's a lack of distinction between our home and our workplace, and sometimes all of our work just bleeds into our home life, and so we're working just all the time. The tools of our work are now more mobile than ever before. So therefore, we can more easily work from home. We can work from our car. We can work from our vacation spot. We can work from wherever we are. Our connectivity to our colleagues has now moved to being 24/7. People can get a hold of us at any time through texting or email or some other form of communication. So it's really hard to get away from work, to rest, to pause, to take a time out from our regular schedule and our regular activities. And besides all that, work schedules today are far more flexible than they'd ever been. I mean, very few people just work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Most of us are working half days and full days and three quarter days and spreading out when our day of rest is and when everybody else at work is on a different schedule than we're at. They could be asking us questions when it's their work day and it's supposed to be our rest day. And all of that requires us to be really, really proactive and firm on when we take our rest and how we have Sabbath. I think this generation is going to find it more and more difficult to Sabbath. And I think that's going to be challenging as we move into this next generation, as young people grow up in this very fluid kind of work environment that we have today. Jesus is the Lord of rest, and it particularly says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 5. He is the Lord of rest. He disputed with the Jewish rules regarding surrounding Sabbath, and he basically says to them, to the Jewish people, you're more interested in the rules than you are the benefits of Sabbath. And surrounding us with rules really doesn't help us to enjoy, to appreciate, and to practice Sabbath. And you know, whenever we become stressed, I think we tend to lapse into rule keeping because, you know, rules are black and white, rules are pretty straightforward. And when we become a little bit stressed, we tend to say, no, let's just follow the rules. Let's just do it this way. And I think that was happening in the Jewish culture. It can often creep into our lives where we don't think of the commandments the way Jesus thought of them. We think of them simply in terms of being rules. Jesus thought of the commandments as being benefits to us. Jesus thought of what he told us to do, not as being something he was trying to impose on us, to cramp our style or to harm us, but benefit us. The book of Hebrews talks about us entering into his rest when we cease from our own work, our own striving, and begin to depend more upon him. The key idea there is that we are to stop striving and start abiding. So Sabbath is intended to make life better. That's what Jesus meant when he said that the Sabbath was created for man and not mankind for the Sabbath. So don't focus on the rules, but focus on the benefits. Every scriptural command is intended for our good, not to control us, but to free us. In fact, we see that in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus explains the Beatitudes or the blessings. He basically saying, and that word blessing is a very difficult word to translate from the original Aramaic language. It means joy. It means satisfaction. It means fulfillment. And basically what Jesus is saying is that the people who do follow the way of the kingdom, the people who do make the sacrifices to be kingdom people are actually not sad. They're not put down. They're not cringing. Rather, they're blessed. They're full of joy because that word blessing means full of joy. In fact, the more literal translation of blessing is, oh, the sheer joy of being meek. Oh, the sheer joy of being poor in spirit. Oh, the sheer joy of even being persecuted for righteousness' sake. There is a blessing, there's a joy that comes with when we follow, when we align ourselves with the values of the kingdom and follow the instructions of Jesus. It helps to explain boundaries this way and rules this way. And it helps to explain to our children, you know, why are these rules here? Not simply to be rules that you follow, but these things are given for your benefit. And we need to explain the benefit well to them of why these particular instructions are important for them. You know, this is something really important to understand. The Jesus way, the way of the kingdom, the way of Christ followers is the best way to live. In other words, it really works. What's the best way to have family? Well, it's to have Christian family. What's the best way to have marriage? It's to have truly Christian marriage. What's the best way to be an employer or to be an employee or to have a workplace? It's to truly be Christian in that workplace because this is the very best way to live. We need to learn to practice then Sabbath keeping. It's essential to our souls, But it's not easy. It takes some practice. It takes some self-discipline. And it actually requires a new theological perspective on work and on rest. You see, when we rest, when we pause, it's really an act of faith. It's an act of faith because we're trusting that we can stop and the Lord will look after us. Everything in my life is not dependent on me. Everything in my workplace, the success of my company, the success of my business, the success of my family, it's not dependent on me. I can take a break. I can pause and know that God cares and that God looks out. And it's not saying that we can just walk away from stuff, but we put people in charge of things to look after our business or our homes when we're away. But we know that God is looking after these things and he cares for us. After all, Jesus told us that every hair on our head is numbered and he sees the sparrow fall. And rest and worship are connected. I don't know if you've noticed this before, but one of the main reasons that the early church moved Sabbath from Saturday to the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the day of the week the Lord was resurrected, and began to practice worship on that day, reading the word, praising the Lord through song and reading scriptures together. It's because rest and worship are interrelated. They're connected together. Both rest and worship indicate some really important things and remind us of some really important things. There is something greater than ourselves at work in our world. The world does not rest on our shoulders. We're not like Atlas carrying the world on our shoulders. We can pause. That's a theological shift that we need to make. God is not depending on me to do everything. He has given me gifts. He's given me responsibilities. I can do what I can do as he gives me the gifts, and I have to leave the rest to him. There are others around us. This is what rest teaches us. There are others around us. We're not alone. This is what worship tells us. When we worship corporately, we're reminded that we're not alone in this journey. There are brothers and sisters in Christ who are journeying along with us. Rest and worship remind us that there's another kingdom. What we see around us in a government and in policy and in the physical world around us, that's not all there is. There's another kingdom, and that other kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is here, and it's among us. And not only that, this kingdom is coming in fulfillment one day, and we look forward to that. Rest and worship reminds us that there is more than meets the eye going on in our world. We pause, we reflect, we worship, we recognize the lordship of Jesus over our circumstances, over our jobs, over our workplaces, over our families, and we recognize that he reigns and he is Lord of all. You know what I think the most important idea is in history? And I don't think I'm alone in this. I've heard this many times. The most important idea in all of human history, and I might add this, the most important idea in our current generation is, what does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be male? What does it mean to be female? Our behavior does not determine our identity. Our relationship with God determines our identity. That's why we rest. That's why we worship, because we recognize that we are connected to him, and he is involved intimately in our lives as his creation. When we rest, when we pause, when we Sabbath, it's really a declaration of our freedom. I'm free. I am no longer a slave to, well, to the world around me, to my workplace, to work. I rather am given over to God, and because of that, because he is perfect, because he works all things for the good, I can trust him and I can pause. I pray that you would do that. I pray that you would learn to pause. Remember, it's going to take some practice. It's going to take some time to learn to slow down and worship, reflect, do something different than your regular vocation, than your regular calling, so that your soul can grow. Let's pray. So, Father, we pray that our souls would grow, We confess that at times we pay more attention to our bodies, we pay more attention to the physical world around us than we really do to our inner person. We really want to learn to grow, and we know that rest is part of that. Sabbath is part of that. And Lord, I pray that we would practice Sabbath well, better than we have. I pray that we would learn to theologically understand that you're in control and that you look after things, and you do not require us to fix everything and to do everything, but rather we can trust you and we can walk away at times and pause, reflect, and worship. Thank you, Lord, that you look after us and that you look after everything in this world. And Lord, we just want to declare again, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you with our families. We trust you with our workplaces. We trust you with our physical bodies. We trust you. In your name we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you are looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30. Our Abbotsford campus has three services each Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at ccc.ca/give. See you later.